chapters 8, 9, and 10. At this point in our study of David's life, he has been on the throne over all of Israel about 8 or 9 years. And during that time, he has been very busy establishing his kingdom. He brought God, the presence of God, back into the center of the nation's life. And then he was busy fighting and subduing all of the enemies that surrounded Israel. And so what does David do now with this power, this authority that God has given him? And we're going to learn tonight that he used that power. He used his greatness, his position, those things that God had given him. He had entrusted him with that, and he used them to show kindness to other people, not to keep it for himself or to rule harshly over people, but in kindness. So we're going to kind of quickly review, the chapters, and then overview chapter 8, 9, 10, and then go back to chapter 9. In chapter 8, God, in chapter 7, with that covenant that he had made with David, he had promised the people peace, and he had promised them rest. And in chapter 8, as we said, David went out and he began to fight those enemies that surrounded Israel. And you know, even though God promised rest and promised peace to the nation of Israel, they had to go out and do battle for it to gain the victory. And he gave it to them, but they had to go fight for it. And just as an aside for us, something to think about, even though God has given us these great promises that are ours, we have to do battle for them. We have to fight for them and fight our enemy. And a lot of times that's on our knees as we battle in prayer for those things that he has promised us. And then we can experience the victory. David, it also tells us in chapter 8 that as David went and he fought and conquered these people, and you know, when they do, they can take whatever was theirs, they can take them for themselves. And these nations, they had strong horses and they had chariots, but it tells us that David hamstrung the horses. And that's very interesting, because God had said in the law, when he was speaking about the kings that will rise up, that will come, that they should not multiply horses to themselves, because they would trust in the horses to do the fighting instead of trusting in him. And because David is a man after God's own heart, he has all these horses and chariots, and the temptation would be, what? To keep them, just in case. But he didn't. He hamstrung those horses, so put them out of business. They couldn't be, you know, strong chariot horses. And because he's a man after God's own heart, he obeyed the Lord in that. And somewhere, maybe it was during this time, I don't know, in Psalm 20, verse 7, David wrote, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." He knew God fights the battles. God gave the victory without chariots, without horses. It also tells us that the Lord preserved David wherever he went. David was a man after God's own heart, and God protected him and preserved him. And in David's victories, it also tells us in verse 13 of chapter 8 that David made a name for himself. Now, he already had a name for himself all those years, from the time he was a youngster and he fought Goliath and killed Goliath. I mean, he had a name for himself, but he apparently really made a name for himself in this case. And you know, I just, when I read that, the Lord said, we might ask ourselves, what kind of a name am I making for myself? And hopefully it's a name that we are women after God's own heart. David became great and he administered judgment and justice. He was a good and a godly king. And then in chapter 9, and I want to read through that really quickly so we can hear it and get the full effect in our hearts and in our minds. Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba or Ziba? He said, at your service. And then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And he said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of this guy in Lodabar. Then David sent and brought him out of the house from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face, prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then he said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba and were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both of his feet. Now, typically, when a king, a new king, would come in to reign, he would kill all of the descendants of the previous king. Any relatives, anybody in the household, even some of the servants, because they were a threat. But not so with David, because David was a man after God's own heart and he trusted the Lord. So instead, David said, is there anyone left in the family of the man who tried to kill me so that I can show kindness to him? Is there anyone left of the man who pursued me from mountain to mountain and stronghold to stronghold so I can show kindness to him? Is there anyone related to that man who made my life unbearable? Not so that I might take vengeance, but so that I might show kindness because of Jonathan, my friend, who I made a covenant with. David was a man of his word. David trusted the Lord. And vengeance, the Lord had dealt with him on that. And instead of doing that, he just wanted to repay the evil that Saul had against him with kindness to a grandson of his. Excuse me. So David had desired to show kindness. Excuse me, I don't want to do that, so let me have a drink. and he desired to use his position and his power and his authority that he had, his wealth, to bless other people. It was in his heart. It was in his core. It was who he was. He repeated the word kindness three times. He wanted to show kindness. And he expressed his kindness to Mephibosheth in two ways. He gave him all the land that was his grandfather Saul's. And you know it would be the best land because the king had the best land, and Saul most certainly did. And so David had every right to come in and take everything for himself. But instead, he gave the best to Mephibosheth. And then he invited him to eat at his table, to take all his meals in the king's palace. He gave him the best. He has these servants to work the land and to produce food and to take care of all of his household. But he wanted Mephibosheth in his house as one of his sons at his table so that he would enjoy the king's presence and enjoy his conversation and be in relationship with David and with his family. I mean, that is kindness. He didn't have to do this. If he would have left Mephibosheth where he was, nobody would have given a second thought. I mean, he didn't kill him, but he could have just left him in Lodabar to just go on living. And nobody would have blinked. But he didn't. He reached out. He took the step, and he brought him in to his house. And he followed up on the promise that he had made Jonathan, his dear friend. And Mephibosheth was humbled and very grateful for the kindness that was shown him by David. I mean, can you imagine? Here he was lame. And in those days, I mean, any time, that's not a good thing. But in those days, you had to depend on people to take care of you. And here, I mean, he calls himself a dead dog. And here the king is being so gracious and so kind to him. I mean, that is just humbling. You would be forever grateful. In chapter 10, David once again desired to show kindness and to repay kindness shown to him with kindness. Chapter 10, verse 1, it happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanan, his son, reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanan, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent by the hand of his servants to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the people of Ammon. So David sent his men to give his condolences. Can we do anything for you? Just, it's kindness. He just sent them in. Well, David's men were not received. They were, in fact, they were accused of being spies of David's, that David just sent them in so he could look at the land so David could come in and take it. And they didn't just accuse them, but then they humiliated them by cutting off the back of their robe so their behind showed, and then just shaving half of their beard and sending them on their way. Well, for any man, that's going to be pretty humiliating. And these guys are tough soldiers. And so they went away. And when David found out that this happened, he did not react immediately. He was probably in shock. I mean, who would do such a thing when you're doing this kind deed to be treated like that? You know, it takes a while for you to figure out what's going on. And he could have been waiting to maybe let them realize, gee, we shouldn't have done that. We're sorry. And kind of give room for repentance there. But they didn't. And David said to his men, you stay in Jericho, wait till your beards grow back fully, then come on home. And then in the meantime, those men who in this, in Amnon that did this to them, they thought, uh-oh, we're in big trouble now. So they're scared. So they hired the other armies around them to go fight against David. So David once again has to go out in battle with his men. And it was a fierce battle, but God gave them the victory. So back to David and Mephibosheth. David, as we said, he had reached out to him. Did not have to. Here Mephibosheth is lame. He's crippled, undeserving. He's helpless. Yet David, in his kindness, reached out to him. And it is a wonderful picture of God's love. We are like Mephibosheth. We were lame. We were crippled in our sin. Very undeserving. Completely helpless. Until our God reached down to us. And I love these words in Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we would become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared to us, his kindness brought us salvation. Undeserving. He didn't have to. And yet it was his kindness, his grace, his mercy. And in his loving kindness, he's drawn us to himself. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. This is kindness that draws us to him. And then in Romans 2:4, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. His kindness. And you just stop and meditate on that. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, how he reached down. He is so kind, so gentle, so sweet with us. And our Savior, in his kindness, he has also brought us to his table. Just like David said to Mephibosheth, I'm going to provide for you. I want you in my house. I want you to sup with me. Jesus has with us. In John 14, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. He wants us in his presence. He's invited us to his table to eat continually. You know, in Revelation 3, I think it's 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And here, it's his kindness. He's drawn us with his kindness. We have repented because of his loving kindness toward us. His kindness has changed our lives, just as it changed Mephibosheth's life. Completely changed. From one day he's living in Lodabar, we don't know in what conditions. And in one day his life has changed. He's living in the king's palace, a feast. And here we are, saved because of the kindness of Jesus Christ, because the kindness of God our Father. We are loved. We are accepted in the beloved. We are provided for. We are protected. And we are blessed beyond measure. It is enough to humble us. Just one of those little things humbles us. But to have all that he's given us, undeserving. David said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" He knew that his position, everything that he had, came from the Lord. It was his kindness toward David that made him king. It was his kindness toward David that preserved his life and that brought him to the place that he was in. And he knew, if I receive this kindness from the Lord, I want to show his kindness to other people. And what will we do with that kindness that we have so freely been given? The kindness that we have received from the Lord, we need to extend to others. Now, probably most of us, or I would like to say all of us, we're nice people. Okay? We're nice people. But do we extend kindness to those around us? Sometimes when I hear myself, my tone isn't very kind. Sometimes my words aren't very kind. Sometimes I don't even want to be kind. This is why lessons like this are so good, because it makes me stop and think about the kindness that the Lord has shown me and that I need to give to other people. Ephesians 4:32 tells us to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. I love those little words. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted. And being kind, it's being compassionate. It's being gracious. It's being caring. There's a true story about, well, it was many, many years ago, that there was a black man walking along 42nd Street in New York City from a terminal to a hotel, and he was carrying two very, very heavy, large suitcases. You know, he's going to the hotel. And suddenly, as he was walking, somebody came next to him and picked up the heavy one out of his hand and walked alongside him and said, "That's a heavy load, brother. Why don't you let me help you? I'm going your way." And the man, he resisted a little bit, but finally he allowed this young white man to carry his suitcase along. And they talked and talked and talked, and they chatted like they were old friends by the time they got to the hotel. And that, said Booker T. Washington, years afterward, was the first time I ever saw Theodore Roosevelt. Interesting. A little kindness. A little kindness. You know, it's helping the little lady across the street. It's little things like that, to be kind to one another. It's just to take that extra little step to show some kindness. And Jesus, he said we shouldn't be selective in our kindness. He said in Luke chapter 6, just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High. And listen to this. These words have always got me. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. He is kind to the unthankful and evil. That's our God. That's our God. Sometimes when we read, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, we always say, well, that's all for those really nice people. Those people that we know around us. But he's kind to the unthankful and the evil. He was certainly kind to me when I was very unthankful and desperately wicked. That's who our God is, and we should extend that kindness. Kindness changes lives. It changed Mephibosheth's, and God's kindness certainly has changed our lives. And maybe there's a few of us here who have had someone show great kindness to us that has changed our lives. There's another story about Mark. One day he was walking home from school when he noticed the boy ahead of him had tripped and dropped all the books he was carrying, along with two sweaters, a baseball bat, a glove, and a small tape recorder. Mark knelt down, helped the boy pick up the scattered articles, and since they were going in the same way, same direction, he helped carry part of the burden. And as they walked, Mark discovered the boy's name was Bill. That he loved video games, baseball, history, and that he was having a lot of trouble with other subjects, and he just broke up with his girlfriend. Well, they arrived at Bill's home, and Mark was invited in to have a Coke and to watch some TV. So the afternoon passed pleasantly with a few laughs and some shared small talk, and then Mark went home. They continued to see each other around school and had lunch together once or twice. They both graduated from junior high. Then they ended up in the same high school where they had brief contact throughout the years. Finally, the long-awaited senior year came, and 3 weeks before graduation, Bill asked Mark, can we talk? And Bill reminded him of the day years ago when they had first met. He said, do you ever wonder why I was carrying so many things home that day? And he said, you see, I cleaned out my locker because I didn't want to leave a mess for anyone else. I had stored away some of my mother's sleeping pills, and I was going home to commit suicide. But after we spent some time together talking and laughing, I realized that if I had killed myself, I would have missed that time and so many others that might follow. So you see, Mark, when you picked up my books that day, you did a lot more. You saved my life. One little act of kindness to a stranger can save their life, can change their life. When the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked and he was as a prisoner going to Rome, and so he was on a ship full of prisoners, and the ship wrecked. And they were floated off and swam to the island of Malta. And this has always been interesting to me. It says, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome. And I've always thought that that word unusual kindness, I guess it's kind of, you know, like, wow. Now, yeah, it was unusual kindness. I mean, here they are, natives. They're not Christians. They're just natives on this island that all of a sudden you have these prisoners swimming and floating up, and you help them out and you kindle a fire and you get them warm and you make them dinner, and that's unusual kindness. And kindness today, it seems to be a little unusual, because unfortunately there's not a lot of kindness in this world. Not a lot of people being kind to one another. So it is unusual. But this kindness that we've received from the Lord, we need to have that translate in our lives. And I love this term that I heard years ago. But as Christians, we are to do these random acts of kindness every single day. Now, other people call them good deeds, and a lot of people do good deeds to earn something. But this is a response of what has been given to us. And we have this mission to do these random acts of kindness to those around us each and every day. It's a wonderful ministry that we have to be able to do that. And maybe we should pray and ask the Lord, would you help me to be mindful of this each day? And then give me those opportunities that I can show these random acts of kindness to the people I live with, to my neighbors, to the people in the parking lot at Target, or wherever I may go. You know, David, he had that desire to show kindness. He talked about showing kindness, but he went one step further and he actually showed the kindness. And this to me is a little, for me, it's an exhortation for me, because I can say all these things that I've said. I can listen to all these things and I can think that, yes, that's good. I need to do that. And then I can wake up tomorrow morning and I can totally forget. Totally forget. Not that I'm going to be a mean person, but I'm not going to make an effort to go out of my way to be kind. And so let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts so that here we are. If we just show one act of kindness tomorrow, or if we each do five, I mean, can you imagine what that's going to do for other people? And we may never know. We may never have that person come back to us and say, you saved my life. You know, we may never see them again. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, I know I don't just speak for myself. But those words, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, Your loving kindness, as your word says, is better than life. And we want our lips to praise you for that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the kindness that you have shown each one of us. And not just when you first saved us, Lord, but every single day, thank you. Thank you for your grace, your compassion, your care. Thank you. And Father, we want that kindness to flow through our lives. Lord, we want to go that extra mile. And we want to be mindful of speaking kind words with a kind tone and doing kind things. Lord, would you open our eyes and open our ears and give us opportunity, Lord, to share your love, to share the kindness that we've been given with other people. And Father, I want to just be bold and ask that you would use us to change people's lives, to save people's lives, Lord. We know that that's your heart and your desire to do. And we ask that you would do that through us. And Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you for how good you are to us. And Lord, I pray that now as my sisters go into their groups, that they would be full of joy in discussing these things and talking about the things that you've already shown them in your word, and that you would use them in each other's lives, Lord, to build up, to strengthen. Just bless them, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And then remember, if you're in Angela's group, that you're going to be meeting back in the sanctuary back there.